You're listening to the Reading Envy podcast, where I'll have what you're reading. Hi, everyone. This is Jenny, and I thought it would be fun to have a little bonus episode for the holidays. So this episode is going to be in two parts. The first part will be some holiday reading recommendations, and let me tell you, they are cozy, cozy, cozy. So if that's not really your speed, this isn't going to be the episode for you, and that's okay. I'm sure other places you can find recommendations for Christmas horror. I've tried reading it, couldn't do it. The second part of the episode will be my last to-be-read Explode Project report. I'll explain it when I get there. And if you're listening before the 14th, you still have time to submit your best read of the year. Please just go to readingenvy.com for more information about that. So I think I am just going to run down a list of books. Some of them I haven't read yet, and they're just on my radar. Some of them I read in previous years, so I won't talk a lot about any of them. A lot of these are romance, probably most, but I will talk about some more literary titles, some cooking titles. One of the books I definitely read this month, because I've been trying to read as many of these as I can, is called We Met in December by Rosie Curtis. I got a copy through Edelweiss, but it is out already. And it's about a woman named Jess who moves in with a friend who has a house, and it's in a place in Notting Hill, if I recall correctly, in the UK, where she wouldn't have been able to afford to live otherwise. And the only rule in the house is that you don't have relationships with your roommates. And the first day that she's there, she meets a roommate who she feels an automatic connection to. So you can probably tell where that's going to go. They get to know each other by walking all over London, which is pretty fun. So that's a good one. I've noticed that a lot of these cozy romances that are set at Christmas time tend to be set in the UK for whatever reason. A lot of these will be too. The next one is, it's called 25 Days Till Christmas by Poppy Alexander. This is about a woman named Kate who is a widow. Her husband, Tom, was killed in the war in Afghanistan. And she has a young son named Jack who has started to display some issues in school, maybe some learning disabilities. And she's a single mother, barely making ends meet. She works at a really awful job with a sexist manager. She has to dress like an elf in the freezing cold to sell Christmas trees, so her life isn't great. And then there's this man that she remembers seeing in previous years that she feels a connection to, so that's a nice little story. One I didn't get to, but is on my list of review books, is Let It Snow by Nancy Thayer. I had a copy of that through NetGalley, and it's a holiday love story set in Nantucket about a shop owner who can't afford the rent. There's lots of shop owners too. I mean, there's just some tropes for Christmas, I think. Another book that I was sent that I haven't read yet from Penguin Random House is called The Christmas Spirits on Trad Street. Now, technically, this is the sixth book in the Trad Street series, but it also has some differences in it. Not just that it's Christmas themed, but it also has, I don't think it's time travel. I think it's set in different time periods, where the Trad Street books in general are set in contemporary. But there's supposed to be some romance and mystery and historical fiction elements, and it goes back to Charleston during the American Revolution. So if you're interested in that period, or you love Charleston the way I do, this is probably going to be a good read. And there's some house archaeology going on here, and there's some kind of artifact that might have some spirits involved. So that sounds fun. This is a pretty hefty book. Some of these holiday reads are longer than I probably would have expected, but I think it's because, you know, you're settling in, you have time. It's kind of a leisurely activity to just immerse in a holiday read. Up next, I have Royal Holiday by Jasmine Guillory. It's actually the fourth book in the Wedding Date series. I haven't read any of those, and I didn't find it really mattered to me. The main character in this one is Vivian, and she's the mother of a character that I think came before, but she just travels to the UK with her daughter. That's all you really need to know about that daughter, so I don't think it matters. And they're staying at the home of a duchess while the daughter does her clothing. And so Vivian's in her 50s. She has a job, a career, but she's single. And then she finds romance. So if you're looking for a little bit of diversity in age, it's a nice little story, I thought. Plus, you know, in the UK, so bonus meetings for the royal family. Another book that I have on my list that I think I'm only about 15% through. I grew up reading Little Women, and I think Little Women is a great holiday read. A lot of classics have Christmas scenes that are pretty unforgettable. Of course, Little Women is by Louisa May Alcott. And I feel like every few years there's a rebirth of interest in Little Women. So in college, which would have been the late 90s for me, my college put on a play production, but that was around the same time that another movie version came out with Winona Ryder, if I'm not mistaken. And then this year, for some reason, there's another movie version. There's a Christmas version with contemporary characters that I saw on Hulu the other day. And then there's this book called Meg and Joe by Virginia Cantra. I got a copy through NetGalley, but it is out already. And she has changed the setting and changed the time period. So it's contemporary time period, and it's a small town in North Carolina where they're from instead of being in New England. And contemporary 21st century versions of the sisters. Jo is a food blogger in New York City. It wasn't what she set out to do. She set out to be a journalist, but she's barely making ends meet. Seems to be a trend for Christmas stuff. And Meg is a stay-at-home mom with twins whose husband is controlling, but not like, I don't think he means to be. I think he's trying to play a role that he thinks he's supposed to be playing. At least that's what I think about him so far. For some reason, he had it in his head that they were only going to be successful if she never asked for help. But she has twins and she's a stay-at-home mom and she's doing it all herself. And that doesn't seem like that's going to end up very good. But, and it looks like I think their mom is going to be sick. And that's probably going to bring the whole family together is where I'm expecting that to go. Now, it doesn't sound like it's necessarily a Christmas novel, except for much of it seems to be centered around the holidays. So it starts right around Thanksgiving, and the family is all separated, and the mother has ended up in the hospital. So that's where everything takes off. I'm definitely going to finish it. I just didn't finish it before I recorded this. A few more that I already read this year. Snowflakes at Mistletoe Cottage by Katie Ginger. I think I found that on a Black Friday Kindle deal, and I just impulse bought it. It's kind of short, but it's cute. And it's about Esme, who's a food stylist, and she loses her job. And the same day she loses her job, her boyfriend breaks up with her. And so she has to move back home to a small town in the UK where she reacquaints herself with a boy she knew in high school who has become a real estate agent and helps her find this really cute cottage that is adorable but has no heat. And she starts a YouTube channel. So that's kind of cute. I was thinking about books I'd read in previous years. And honestly, if you have like Hoopla or the Libby app for your library, your public library, just go in there and search for Amish and Christmas. There's so many Amish Christmas stories and books you would just not believe. And the reason I recommend those is, you know, the joke I always make about Amish romance is that it's kind of like other cozy, non-explicit romances that end in marriage or a kiss, except for they always end with pie. So at Christmas time, it's kind of fun because especially when they're Christmas themed, it's just like, it's half about the awkward romance, but mostly it's about baked goods. And so that can be pretty fun. And like, literally there's so many. I think I read a collection called An Amish Second Christmas, but really there are so many of them. And that can be fun. Sometimes they come with recipes. Another book of short stories I read is called Christmas in Kilts. Who knew there were tropes for Highland Christmas novels and stories, but there are. So just look for Christmas in Highlands, Christmas in Kilts, Christmas in Scottish. You're going to find a ton, but they are pretty fun, especially if you're trapped in snow, you'll be just where they are. Some of my more literary suggestions. Here we go. The first is The Snow Child by Eowyn Ivey. I was lucky enough to read this book while I was in Alaska. It wasn't snowing because it was summer, but it still was the same setting. But it's so much about snow, and it's this couple that is trying to have a child, and they discover a child made out of snow, and it kind of goes from there. So there's a little bit of magic in there, which is kind of nice. Another book with a little bit of magic is The Bear and the Nightingale by Catherine Arden, which is based on Russian folk tale. And it's just beautiful. If you really just want something on a dark winter night, it's a really lovely book. Another book that I associate with Christmas, although I don't think the whole book takes place during Christmas, is The City Baker's Guide to Country Living by Louise Miller. Now, Louise Miller is actually a pastry chef in real life, and so I'm going to recommend her books, which are super cozy, and then also her Instagram feed, which is also super cozy. It's all flowers and home and cats and baked goods, so I enjoy that. One book that probably belongs in the earlier section. I think it actually came out last year. It's just a book that I always see when Christmas titles come up. It's called One Day in December by Josie Silver. I think it has like a double-decker bus on the front. You've probably seen it too. It's blue. Apparently it's a lovely little novel about love at first sight. I think maybe I will read that One Day in December. Another book that I thought of is 2 a.m. at the Cat's Pajamas by Marie-Helene Bertino. So there's this little girl who loses her mother. She's 9. Her name is Madeline. And so she, on New Year's Eve, goes to a jazz club because she wants to make her own debut. So it's more like a novel that takes place over the holidays. I really liked that one. It was really heartwarming. I actually felt like I meant to go back and read more by that author. I should. Three more literary titles that I associate with winter. They're not all fiction, but very good writing, so it doesn't matter. One is Winter by Carl Ove Nosgaard, and he's just continuing from Autumn his series of very short essays. Some of them have to do with wintry things like the cold. I really enjoyed that one. The second is Winter by Ali Smith, which is more of a novel, and I think that's as far as I've gotten in the seasonal books from both of them. I know they're done, but I haven't read Spring or Summer. I've read Autumn and Winter for both of them. Another book I really liked is Christmas Days, 12 Stories and 12 Feasts for 12 Days by my pal Jeanette Winterson. I have just a few cookbook recommendations. I have a whole shelf of like Christmas cookie cookbooks because that's what my house is like. But one cookbook that I got last year that I really keep getting pulled back into is called Homemade Christmas by Yvette Van Boven. There's some really interesting and creative stuff in there. One of the things I made last year is this more English-style vegetarian Christmas pie that stands alone, you know, the type that you learn about on the British baking show with the hot water crust that stands alone. And that was like a curry cauliflower. It was really good. I was just thinking about her savory French toast this morning, so I might have to go make that. And then I was thinking about Nigella Lawson, because she's from the UK, and she has these wonderful Christmas episodes of her old TV show and her new TV show, and then some cookbooks that accompany them. So Feast, Food That Celebrates Life, very seasonal, and then one called Nigella Christmas. I think some of them have the same recipes because maybe one's out of print. But I'm actually making her chocolate cherry trifle this year for my work holiday party. Okay, so I also, before I leave my holidays, I have two more recommendations for New Year's. One of them is a book I haven't ever read, but I have a review copy of. I'm disappointed to say it's not available till January 28th, but if you have access to Edelweiss, you might be able to request it. It's called A Castle in the Clouds by Kirsten Gier, translated by Romy Firstland, and it's actually a YA novel, and I don't see very many translated YA novels. I'll just read the description. Way up in the Swiss mountains, there's an old grand hotel steeped in tradition and faded splendor. Once a year, when the famous New Year's Eve ball takes place and guests from all over the world arrive, excitement returns to the vast hallways. Sophie, who works at the hotel as an intern, is busy making sure that everything goes according to plan, but expected problems keep arising and some of the guests are not who they pretend to be. Very soon, Sophie finds herself right in the middle of a perilous adventure and at risk of losing not only her job, but her heart. Sounds good. Another book that takes place on New Year's Day is 84 Charing Cross Road by Helene Hanf. I finally read this last year for the first time. I know at least one person who reads it every year as a tradition. And It isn't at all what I thought it was going to be. I didn't realize it was nonfiction, for one thing. I did talk about it on a previous episode, so I won't repeat myself, but that one is really fun. If you have any favorite holiday reads, I would love to hear about them. You can leave a comment on the blog or just, you know, send me a message on Instagram. One of the things in my family growing up is my dad would always read us a Christmas carol because he liked to do the voices, but he always had to finish it before Christmas Eve because Christmas Eve he would read us the traditional Christian Christmas story from the Bible. So also with voices, of course. This year, one of my reading goals was to work through some of my to-be-read list in Goodreads because I realized I'd been in Goodreads for 10 years. I wasn't sure I still wanted to read some of the books I thought I wanted to read 10 years ago, but I wanted to be really methodical and not just delete everything. So I've been taking 10 books a month, tracking them down if I didn't already have them, or, you know, using the tools available to me. So sometimes reading a Kindle sample, reading a Google Books sample, interlibrary loan, whatever I could do. And then I would decide I could keep the book on the list and read it later. I didn't have to read it right now, but I wanted to make sure I still wanted to read it. I could read it if I felt so moved, or I could take it off the list. And I'm not making any apologies for taking things off the list. I feel like if there's a book I'm really supposed to read that I wasn't feeling now, I'll find my way back to it. A book really had to grab me or feel important enough to keep. I'll have statistics about all of this on my final goals wrap-up episode, but I am really proud of how many books I was able to remove. So that is the goal. And so if something really didn't grab me, I just took it off. So I don't know why I'm feeling so apologetic about it today. I think it's because in my last quarter of the year, I really did take a lot of books off the list. I will go month by month, so it's not super negative. In October, I removed 3 books from the list. The Girl in the Italian Bakery by Kenneth Tingle. I had a hard time finding a copy of this one, and then just kind of reading the summary, I was like, I don't think I really want to read this one anymore. Intruder in the Dust by Faulkner. Now, this is a different reason. This one doesn't seem to be a super significant work. I still really need to read the big Faulkner books, and so I figured if I really enjoyed that experience, I probably would add all of his backlist to my to-be-read list, but for now, I'm just going to take it off. There's a possibility that I'll be able to take a class on Faulkner this upcoming semester because I can take a class for free every semester as an employee of a university. And I'm really hoping to do that because I feel like I've never really read him. I probably would benefit from reading him with other people. So it might be that I read this book anyway. I also took off the book Sway by Ori Broffman. Just in reading about it, it sounded a lot like Blink by Malcolm Gladwell, which I really did not enjoy. And just self-help type books like that just really haven't been my thing. In October, I did go ahead and read 3 books, so that was quite a few. I read Await Your Reply by Dan Chown, which I don't think I ever ended up talking about on the podcast. I had read his previous book, Ill Will, and I felt like I wanted to read this one, but I must have read the other one in a book swap because I don't think I would have read it first otherwise. They're not part of a series or anything, but this one was good. He tends to write in a way where either the character doesn't know something that the reader does, or the narrators are unreliable in some way, and so I tend to enjoy that. It's not quite horror, but it's psychological just the same, if that makes sense. So he's interesting. I feel like he has a pretty distinct voice. Another book I read was The Blue Castle by L.M. Montgomery. That was on episode 173, so I won't talk about it now. And First Light by Charles Baxter, which was on episode 172. So some of these books I read and liked so much that I talked about them later. This math is not quite working, is it? Right now I only have 9 on my October list and I should have had 10. So I'm I don't know which book I'm missing. Sorry. I did leave 3 books on the list for October. Don't know what happened to that last book, but I left The Sound and the Fury by Faulkner and I own it. So eventually I'll read it. Actually, I own 2 copies at the moment because my mother sent me my dad's copy. Brick Lane by Monica Ali. I honestly didn't even try this one because I own it. And it's a Booker Prize winner, I think. So I have this idea that eventually I'll read all of those. This is kind of sounding like the shoulds to me, but I kept it on the list. and Oblivion by David Foster Wallace. I'm planning to finish Everything eventually by David Foster Wallace. I actually put in a request to get this from the public library, and it said it was on the shelf, and I was the first in line for a hold, but they never went to the shelf and got it and brought it to my branch, so I just finally canceled the hold. It is a book of short stories, I believe. I've read all his books of essays, but not his books of short stories. I don't know what I'll think about those, but, you know, I've read almost everything else, so I think in that case I will be a completist. The Dennis Johnson book might be from October, Fiscadoro. It's the first one in November. We'll see if the math works out. That is true, because it's number 4. So I took Fiscadoro off my list. Now, I really like Dennis Johnson, but this was a little bit of a change. It was post-apocalyptic, just didn't immediately grab me, felt very tropey. I've read so many post-apocalyptic books. I haven't felt so much in the mood for them lately. The world's bad enough. So I took it off. Okay, so now we're really on November. Now I'm glad I figured out where that book went. I took off, 9 books. I was pretty brutal in November. I was also super busy in November. I do think that kind of plays into it a little bit. I requested a few books from the library that I didn't even have time to pick up, so that was a pain. The first one is The Apocalypse Reader by Justin Taylor. It sounds like a good read, but it's problematic in a lot of ways. If I Loved You, I Would Tell You This by Robin Black. It's a book of short stories. I think I've actually tried that one before. It seemed very familiar, and I don't think I got through it, so I'm just going to take it off. I have to say, short stories are just, they're hard for me. I have to really like them. This is an interesting one that I took off the list. It's Although, Of Course, You End Up Becoming Yourself by David Lipsky. It's basically an extended interview with David Foster Wallace, and they made it into a film, which I also haven't seen. I read the entire introduction of this book, which is the only non-interview feeling part, and I felt like I got out of it what I needed to get out of it, because once I started reading the interview section, I just didn't really like the rhythm of it, if that makes sense. I mean, I have other reasons in my life where I read interviews, and it's just really not as good as what comes after the interview, like after you've put stuff together and kept the good parts and thrown out all the bad parts. So reading just transcripts of interviews, I mean, I'm so glad that he was able to have it with David Foster Wallace, but I wasn't enjoying it. 3 Ways to Capsize a Boat by Chris Stewart. This is one I just took off without even trying it. It's kind of like just the kind of travel writing that I don't really want. Everything I Want to Do is Illegal by Joel Salatin. Same. And then I had this set of books that seemed to be about earth science through food. One is All You Can Eat by Joel Berg. One is Terra Madre by Carlo Petrini. Yeah, and the third one, The Taste for Civilization by Janet A. Flammang. I don't know what I was up to that made me add those books, but I'm not actually interested in that. So, I mean, not enough to read them. Took those off. And then The Dying Animal by Philip Roth. Look, I gave it a try. I even tried to have a Philip Roth year. I just can't stand the misogyny, and this was the worst. I just think, you know, that trope of the professor who's middle-aged and depressed and ends up with the student, I mean, it's not even ethical anymore. It's just kind of gross. And I understand that a lot of authors wrote books like that, and it always seems autobiographical, and I just don't need it. In November, I read Mockingbird by Walter Tevis, which I talked about on a podcast episode. It was excellent. I'm so glad I read it. This is why this project is amazing, because it wasn't what I thought it was, and it was just so much better. I can't find proof that I've talked about this book on the podcast, and I feel bad because I actually, when I was doing my November wrap-up episode, not episode, when I was doing my November wrap-up post for my blog, I ended up going back, I'd given it 4 stars, and I went back and gave it 5 stars, because in relation to everything else, I was like, no, this was a really good book. It's about this robot, and he is sentient, and he was built to do almost everything a human can do. He can learn, but he can't kill himself. And he's been around for a long time. He's depressed and alone. And he meets this human who's taught himself how to read when most humans aren't allowed to read. And they work on this project together and it's this world where depressed people and depressed robots. And it's just so unique. I can't believe I haven't talked about it. Okay, the other book that I read in November was actually from the December list, so I'll get back to that one. I didn't leave any books on my to-be-read list in December, or in November. So, December, my last 10 of the year. I took one book off of my list. So I had a rather large grouping of foodie books, like historical food writers. I think it's because I had read MFK Fisher and I was kind of poking around like, what other people should I be reading? I'm sure I found a list somewhere. So I tried them out. And the only one I decided I probably didn't really want to read is called The Kitchen and the Cook by Nicholas Freeling. I did go ahead and read Medium Raw by Anthony Bourdain. I was finally ready to hear his voice. And I did that big memoir reading project in November, so I counted it for that. And it was definitely a different experience. Most of the time I've known about Anthony Bourdain, I was a vegetarian. And so he always was a little bit much in some arenas. I haven't been a vegetarian for a few years. It was different to read this book and not be one. Also amazing to hear it in his voice. He's just something else. May he rest in peace. And I did leave four books on the list. One is called Between Meals by A.J. Liebling. One is Le Bon Table by Ludwig Bemelmans. One is The Belly of Paris by Emile Zola. And those are all from the food ones. It looks like I've left When Gravity Fails by George Alec Effinger on the list. I didn't have my hands on a copy of it, but it's kind of like a classic cyberpunk science fiction novel, and it's set in the Middle East. So since next year I'm reading books set in the Middle East as a focus, I thought it would be an interesting one to just keep until then. So I didn't really, really dig into it. But there you go. Did pretty well this time around. I went ahead and read 5 books out of 30, so that's not bad. Looks like I took off 14 in that time and kept 7. 7 out of 30, not so bad. Definitely progress. It would probably help me more if these were books I owned. I think things take up mental space too, so I'm going to continue doing this project next year, I think. I think it's a good, just methodical, ongoing thing I should always do, kind of like libraries should constantly be deselecting books that aren't being read. It's been really great. So once again, if you're listening to this before the 14th and you want to submit your favorite read of the year, please do so by the 14th. It can be 11:59 p.m. I won't work on it till that weekend. That's your chance to hear your voice on the podcast, which is always really fun. If you're interested in being a guest next year, there's information about that on the website too, or you can contact me. I'm definitely scheduling for the first half of the year. More than anything, I just so appreciate you listening, and I hope you have happy holidays. Thanks for listening to the Reading Envy podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Reading Envy, or find a complete listing of our podcast episodes, as well as all of the books discussed on today's episode at readingenvy.com.